This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We are debunking some of the most extreme Nancy Guthrie theories this week on the program because there's a ton of them. Half a year certainly makes a lot of them simmer and boil over. Your thoughts as we go through all this in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Here's one for you. The FBI has Nancy in protective custody. It's all a cover-up. Let's examine, shall we? I want you to think about the scale of what that theory asks you to believe. Not one thing, everything. The FBI deployed more than 150 agents to the Tucson area. They set up a 24-hour command post. They processed tens of thousands of tips. They crawled through drainage ditches on their hands and knees with flashlights. They flew helicopters over the Arizona desert with specialized signal-detecting equipment trying to find a pacemaker. They recovered deleted doorbell footage from back-end systems. They ran DNA through a national criminal database. They publicly acknowledged they had no suspect. They reclassified the case. And according to this theory, none of it was real. Nancy Guthrie isn't missing. She's in FBI protective custody. That's the theory. The entire investigation, every search team, every press conference, every forensic submission, every mile of desert terrain covered on foot, it's a performance, a show put on by the federal government for reasons that shift depending on which version of the theory you're reading. Most conspiracy theories ask you to believe the government is hiding one thing. This one asks you to believe the government fabricated an entire multi-agency investigation involving hundreds of people, and not a single one of them has broken ranks. There's a development from the last few weeks that makes this theory structurally impossible. It's the kind of development that carries real legal consequences, and the people pushing this theory haven't touched it. But before we get there, let me be fair about where this theory lives and why it exists. It thrives in spaces where distrust of the government is the default setting. And look, given the history of federal agencies in this country, I'm not going to pretend that skepticism is always unreasonable. But skepticism and conspiracy are different things. The theory draws energy from the case's genuine frustrations, the slow pace of public updates, the early missteps by the sheriff's department, the gaps between what the public wants to know and what investigators are willing to say. When an investigation doesn't produce visible progress, some people don't conclude the case is hard. They conclude the case is fake. The variants of this theory are all over the place. Some say Nancy is a protected witness in a larger federal case. Some say the FBI staged the kidnapping to extract her from danger connected to her family. Some say Savannah Guthrie's position at NBC is connected to the media, and the media is in on it. The specifics change depending on who's posting, but every version shares the same fundamental requirement. Every public-facing element of the investigation has to be a coordinated lie. It's all ratings for the Today Show. Every agent, every technician, every search team, every lab that processed evidence, all of it, theater. So let's take a look at what the FBI actually did, not as a press release, but as an operational footprint, because the specific places they chose to look and the specific tools they deployed tell you what investigators believed happened, and it's not protective custody. FBI agents conducted extensive ground searches along roadways, washes, culverts, and undeveloped properties between Nancy's home and the Catalina foothills and the major routes leading out of Tucson. A team was photographed examining the inside of drainage areas near Annie Guthrie's home with flashlights. Search and rescue crews swept desert terrain around the neighborhood. They looked. If you know where someone is, if they're alive and in your custody in a safe location, you're not necessarily going to send agents into the drainage ditches. You don't deploy search teams into the desert brush. You don't spend days examining culverts with flashlights. Well, it's all for show. They're doing it to cover. Yeah, they're going to. Do you know how finite the resources actually are of the FBI? Because it's like, hey, here's 150 agents. Go nuts. We have other things to do here, but let's do this for show to cover up that we put Nancy Guthrie in protective custody? For what? Why? And we're going to do this show for... Yeah. What they were actually doing was an evidence recovery operation. That's what law enforcement does when they're looking for something that was discarded or deposited. Whether that's physical evidence, a piece of clothing, a weapon, or remains, the search pattern itself tells you what investigators believe. And what they believe is not happening as well. The technology tells the same story. Investigators deployed a specialized signal sniffer mounted on helicopters to try to detect the specific Bluetooth signal emitted by Nancy's pacemaker. This capability was so sensitive, and the operation so real, that when reporters disclosed the method publicly, the president actually criticized the leak for potentially compromising the search. Now, whether that's worth anything or not, considering the amount of babbling randomness, and that's putting it nicely, that comes out at 3 a.m. from him. You don't create a national level operational security controversy around a fake search. You don't fly expensive aerial detection equipment over miles of desert as theater. If this were a performance, that helicopter would be the most expensive prop in the history of federal law enforcement. And the forensics extend across multiple independent institutions. Over 50,000 tips received and cataloged, DNA recovered from the property and submitted to CODIS, the FBI's national database, which is traceable, documented federal processes that they're going through. You can't fake a CODIS submission. The DNA was sent for genetic genealogy analysis, the same science that identified the Golden State Killer through a separate lab. Evidence has been processed through the FBI's Operational Technology Division for the doorbell footage recovery. These are independent facilities, independent technicians, independent chains of custody, mind you. Every person who touched evidence in the case would then have to be part of the deception for the protective custody theory to hold. Every lab tech, every analyst, every agent who signed a chain of custody form. That's not how cover-ups work. That's not how anything works. Well, what if they're not in on it? They're doing their job. They think it's real. Again, logistics. And why? For an 84-year-old elderly mother of a talk show host? The FBI is going to greater lengths to hide her whereabouts more than they have actual people who need protective custody? I mean, it goes nowhere. And I trust me, I've seen the fringes on all of this. My favorite is its ratings. Yes, the producer sat at the Today Show and said, I know what we should do. Instead of another segment where Savannah and her mom go to a Mexican restaurant, let's have her get kidnapped. We'll bring the FBI in, put her in protective custody, and nobody will be wiser, and the ratings will soar. Yeah, that's how that meeting went. Now, let's get to the development that structurally kills the theory. On June 9th, the Pima County Sheriff's Department officially reclassified the Nancy Guthrie case from a kidnapping investigation into a no-body homicide investigation. Prosecutors have begun preparing the groundwork to bring charges without recovering remains. I need to explain why that matters so much, because this is the part that makes the protective custody theory impossible. Not unlikely, not improbable, but impossible. A homicide reclassification is a legal act with real legal consequences. It means investigators believe, based on forensic evidence and circumstantial indicators, that a violent crime occurred and the person is dead. It means prosecutors are building towards charging someone with taking a life. It shifts the entire investigative and legal framework from find her to build a case against whoever did this. Prosecutors who pursue a no-body homicide case are putting their careers and their legal standings behind an assertion that this person was killed. That's not a label you throw around. That's a legal position you have to defend in court. You don't reclassify a case as a homicide if the person is alive in federal protection. That's not a thing that happens. You don't prepare a no-body homicide prosecution as part of an elaborate cover story. If Nancy Guthrie were alive and in custody somewhere, every prosecutor involved in building a murder case would be knowingly constructing a fraudulent legal proceeding. Their bar licenses would be on the line. The careers would be finished. The entire case would eventually collapse, and the people who built it would face professional and potentially criminal consequences. The protective custody theory requires you to believe that prosecutors, investigators, forensic analysis, the FBI agents are all knowingly participating in a fake homicide investigation to maintain a cover story about a woman who is secretly alive. It requires you to believe they are willing to risk their careers, their freedom, and their professional reputations to keep a performance that could unravel the moment Nancy Guthrie walks into a room somewhere alive and well. And what's the protective custody? Where does that even go? She's in protective custody. So she can't see her. So she's basically in prison is what that would be. Can't see her family. Can't do anything that she'd like to do in the last years of her life. She's in protective. Why? She has no connections to anything. The pharmaceutical thing's bunk. But that's the thing. When you have all these little boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Well, in protective custody because people want to kill her because she's going to testify. None of that is true. So there goes that. She had nothing to do with pharmaceuticals. I've seen that connection pretty well, too. There's so many building blocks on this case where somebody steps up to here and they got this big theory. Look at this. Look at me. And then you go, well, that one's not real. Well, that's not part of it either. Well, that doesn't make sense because that doesn't work with it. It's not. And then the whole house of cards collapses. And this, my friends, is another one of those house of cards collapsing theories. I want to end this one with some honesty about why people hold on to this theory, because I think it matters. The protective custody theory is at its core a hope theory. If Nancy is in FBI protection, she's alive. She's safe. The worst thing didn't happen. The story has an ending that doesn't involve an 84-year-old grandmother being harmed by a stranger in the middle of the night. People don't just believe this theory because they distrust the government. Though that's part of it. They believe it because the alternative is more unbearable to them. The idea that Nancy is somewhere safe, that the government is keeping her hidden from her for her own good, is infinitely easier to carry than the idea that she's dead. I understand that impulse. I respect it, but the evidence doesn't support it. The homicide reclassification is real. The drainage searches are real. The helicopter was real. The forensic processing across multiple independent labs is real. None of it is consistent with a woman who is alive and in government custody. All of it is consistent with an investigation that has moved into the phase where they're building a case to hold someone accountable for what happened to Nancy Guthrie. This isn't what anyone wants to hear, but wanting a different answer doesn't change what's in front of us. Your thoughts, your arguments in the comments. You got an argument for me on it? Let's hear it. Not here to rip anybody apart or call them crazy. Just like, you got it? Let's hear it. I'd love to hear it. Because we'll dig. We'll look. We'll debunk. And it's not always like, oh, if there's a lane here in anything we talk about here, well, I can't really quite prove that. Well, let's hear it. Links are in the comment section, or in the descriptions, rather, to our Substack and YouTube where you can comment. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're at. YouTube, podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it may be. Press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.